This year we have, from time to time, been looking at some Bible couples, and I want to come back to that this evening. If you'll turn to Genesis chapter 24, we're going to look at the story of Isaac and Rebecca. And in our Bible couples series, we have focused a lot on marriage. This lesson this evening has a little bit of overlap with parenting as well. I'm glad that you're here, and we're going to look at the couple who made parenting mistakes. As I begin this evening, I'll be the first to admit that I made my share of parenting mistakes. Especially when we're young, we believe that we need to say something or do something, and we realize later that wasn't the best thing to say or that wasn't the best thing to do. And I think if we all look at our lives as parents here this evening, we can see, maybe looking back over, well, I probably would have done something differently. So let me say at the beginning that that happens. And we're going to look at a couple who made some mistakes. But maybe the problem is not so much the mistake, the problem is repeating the mistake. That's what the proverb writer says, that as a man returns to his folly or keeps doing the same thing foolishly over and over again, it's like a dog who returns to its vomit. And that's the one quoted in 2 Peter chapter 2. We don't want to keep repeating the mistakes, and we want to learn from them. But this evening, we want to look at Isaac and Rebecca and the three parenting mistakes that they made, and hopefully we can learn from that this evening. And it is also a lesson about keeping God at the center of our life. And so even if we're not a parent here this evening, there is something I believe that we can learn. And I hope that we'll come back to Psalm 127 at the end of our lesson. We've got to have God at the center of everything in our life, our marriage, our parenting, if we're a single person, no matter what we're doing. But let's look at Isaac and Rebecca, and of course that story begins in Genesis chapter 24, if you'll turn with me there. It is a love story, the beginning of their marriage. When we get to that in just a minute, Isaac loved her at the end of this chapter. It is a love story, and it begins with Abraham's servant seeking a wife for Isaac in Padan Aram. And by the Lord's providence, this servant eventually met a young woman named Rebecca. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 24 when the servant finally comes to the family of Rebecca. Verse 13, "Behold, I am standing by the fountain of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, 'Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink,' and she may say, 'Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also,' let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, and the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, and a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the fountain and filled the pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Give me to drink, I pray thee, a little water from thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw for thy camels also until they have done drinking." And she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw and drew for all the camels. And this man looked steadfastly on her, holding his peace to know whether Jehovah had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden ring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands and 10 shekels weight of gold and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bare unto Nahor." Of course, the servant reveals his intentions to Rebecca and the family, and she returns with him. Young ladies, I want you to notice this evening in chapter 24, beginning in verse 16, three qualities here. The text says she was fair to look upon. She was a beautiful looking young lady. And that's certainly a good thing. And then number two, she was a virgin. She was sexually pure. In our society, that's looked down upon. But you can have an attractive young lady that is godly. And I believe we have young ladies here at Warfield that fit that picture. Continue to be a godly young lady. But notice the third quality. She was someone who would serve others. Be attractive, be sexually pure, but be a helper, be a servant, and be someone who cares. I'm not a camel drinking expert, but I'm told that a thirsty camel can drink up to 25 gallons of water. And he had several camels. This is probably a lot of water. Don't be afraid of hard work, young ladies, and serving others and helping others, and young men for that matter. And so, after the servant told Bethuel and others of his plan, and the statement is made at the end of the chapter, "Will you go with this man?" She said, "I will go." So turn with me to Genesis chapter 24 and verse 61. This love story begins. She returns with the servant. She met Isaac and became his wife. She skipped the blind date and went straight to the blind marriage. Rebekah arose, verse 61, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the land of the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, there were camels coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she alighted from the camel and said unto the servants, "What man is this that walks in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "It is my master." And she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. There's no question that Isaac and Rebekah were good for each other. There's no question that there is love here at the very beginning of their marriage. And even we have a blessed relationship in chapter 25, if you start reading there, that Abraham wanted to bless Isaac and gave all that he had to Isaac. And even God blessed Isaac as well. So they begin to have, verse 5, Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. They start off well. They start off in a blessed relationship. They start off in a loving relationship. But this evening, I want to make a point, and that is that good people don't necessarily make good parents. And there's no question that Isaac and Rebekah were good people. Rebekah is obviously a fine young lady, and Isaac is a fine young man, but that doesn't necessarily make you a good parent. What makes us a good parent is following the biblical principles in the Bible. I believe good people do not necessarily make good parents. I believe Isaac and Rebekah were good for each other, but when they started their family, we're going to see here in just a minute that they made some mistakes. And so, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. We can be good people, but that doesn't necessarily make a good marriage. We can be a good person, but that doesn't make me a good parent. I've got to follow biblical principles in my marriage and in my parenting. We're going to see this evening that this young couple made some serious parenting mistakes. But they were good people. We've got to keep God in our lives. And so come with me to chapter 25 and verse 19. Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, and he was 60 years old verse 26, when Rebekah gave birth to Jacob and Esau. We're not told what kind of a marriage they had for the first 20 years of their life. We know that Rebekah was barren, and Isaac prayed to the Lord, and he gave her twins. And he also gave her a prophecy that the elder shall serve the younger. Verse 19, these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, and the sister of Laban, the Syrian, to be his wife. And Isaac entreated Jehovah for his wife because she was barren. And Jehovah was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, wherefore do I live?" And she went to inquire of Jehovah. And Jehovah said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and the two people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came forth red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came forth his brother, and his hand laid hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. As I said earlier, I'm not sure what was a part of their first 20 years of marriage. I would assume that the love that Isaac had for her still continued during that time. And notice how they're praying to God and relying upon him in prayer. And that's a good thing. And she wanted to know. She had a question. And so she went to inquire of the Lord. That reminds me of Judges chapter 13, when the parents of Samson want to know what shall be the ordering of the child. I love that. And so they get God's word on that. We go to God for help on that matter, on parenting matters, and that's a very good thing. But once the children are born, come with me to chapter 25 and verse 27, we begin to see some problems. The first parenting mistake that Isaac and Rebekah made was that they made the mistake of favoritism. They made the mistake of favoritism. I believe all was well in their marriage from what I know, in the first 20 years of their marriage, but that would soon change. Sometime after the boys grew up, we're told that Isaac loved Esau because of the food that he brought him. And Rebekah loved Jacob. Verse 27, and the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter and a man of the field, and Jacob was a quiet man, dwelling in tents. Now Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. You can also look at chapter 27, verse 4 on that matter that we'll get to later. And Rebekah loved Jacob. We've got to be careful as parents not to make the mistake of playing favorites with our children. Our children are going to have different talents. Our children are going to have different personalities. Our children are going to have different developmental needs and all of that kind of thing. But we try as parents to give them the same thing for all of them. Favoritism can divide the children emotionally, and it can even divide parents. And I believe we see that when we get to chapter 27 later, that husband and wife are now divided and not working together. Try as much as possible to raise all of our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, all with the same kind of principles. If not, things like resentment and bitterness and mistreatment can arise within the family as a result of favoritism. You may recall, if you'll just hold your hand here and turn forward to the story, you may recall of Jacob's favoritism with Joseph. Do you remember the problem that caused? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, and they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And we know what they did to him later in this chapter. So, the first mistake they made was favoritism. It's very difficult, but we can work to raise our children all in the same way. God does not show favoritism. God is not a respecter of persons. Romans 2:11, Ephesians 6:9, Colossians 3:25, and other passages. And neither should we as parents show that same kind of favoritism. We need to work hard to give the same love, the same provisions, the same discipline, the same protection, the same time to all of our children. As I said earlier, they're going to have different personalities. They're going to have different things going on in their life. But we treat them all with the same care. And we have situations today, and I applaud parents who will do this. It takes a special love and sacrifice. There are parents today, members of the church, who will adopt children along with their own. My parents did that one time, even before I was born. And they adopted, just for a brief period of time, two Cuban refugees down in Miami, and they were teenagers. Can you imagine? Taking on a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old in a household that already had five. And my two sisters had to bunk up in one bed. You can imagine that discussion in order to give a free bed to these young orphan kids. But there are parents who will adopt children or take children in, stepchildren, foster children. And we have to work especially hard to treat all of them the same. But we can do that. And that's the very point. When we start looking at human wisdom, when human wisdom gets into the situation, then there's going to be a problem. And we see that Isaac and Rebekah begin to use some human wisdom, what I think and what I feel. We're going to talk about the deceit here in just a minute. And maybe in Rebecca's life, maybe she felt like she was trying to fulfill this prophecy. Some believe that that is the case, but that's not an excuse for her favoritism and then later her deceit. Maybe she said, well, the elder, Esau, shall serve the younger, so maybe I'll help that out. But that doesn't make an excuse for what she did. God will find a plan to carry that out. We need to act right. So the mistake that they made was that of favoritism. Let us have in our life biblical principles and biblical examples for all of our children equally. The second mistake that they made in their life was that of deceit. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 26. After some time had passed, there was a famine in the land. Chapter 26, verse 1 and following. And Isaac ends up kind of repeating some things with regard to what Abraham had done when there was a famine in the land back in Genesis chapter 6. When Isaac went to Gerar, he met the men there and they asked him about his wife. Verse 6, Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister, for he feared to say, my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. Abraham had done the same thing. Do you remember that back in Genesis chapter 12? And I want us to think about something here with regard to a separate lesson. But when Isaac lied about his wife, he disrespected her. Sometimes when a person lies, they're thinking about, well, I'm just thinking about how I can cover my bases, how I can save myself here. But have you ever thought about that from her perspective? She's like, what? Come on now. I'm your wife. When this lie was actually a disrespect of her And sometimes we don't think about that. We're just thinking, at the moment, I'm going to lie and save my hide, so to speak. But we're not thinking about what we're doing to the other person. His deceit showed disrespect for her. And we begin to see now this beautiful, loving marriage relationship kind of fall apart a little bit because God is no longer building the house. And sometimes this happens, brethren. We're married for a little while and we get up into midlife and we're chasing the American dream and she's doing this and I'm out doing this and we're slowly growing apart. We're slowly falling apart. And there are problems in our marriage and with our children. So be mindful of that. So there's deceit on his part. And God continued to bless them despite this, which is amazing with God. If you keep reading there, God continued to bless Isaac. And then come with me to chapter 27, the well-known story. Now it's time for her to be deceitful. Genesis 27, it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his elder son, and said unto him, My son, and he said unto him, Here am I. And he said, Behold, now I'm old, and I know that the day of my death. And now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me venison, and take me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory food, that I may eat and bless thee before Jehovah before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice accordingly to that which I command thee. Well, wait a minute. What about what God wants? What about what God wants me to do? How does God want me to live? We've got to be careful in our marriage that we don't just get so caught up with what we want and focused on the children, and that's going to be our last point. We've got to be careful about where the children are just the center of the universe. Brethren, we're not the center of the universe, and our children are not the center of the universe. God is. But we get caught up in some kinds of parenting where it's just all about the kids. Whatever the kids want, it's all about the kids. And I live to take care of the kids. We do need to take care of our children. We do need to provide for them. But they are not the center of the universe. And if we're not careful, we're going to catch ourselves beginning to do things for them that aren't good for them and are not good for us. I see so much today in our American culture where it's all about the kids. That we're moving away from what God wants. So that's our takeaway for tonight. Except the Lord build the house. We've got to keep the Lord at the center of our house. So in Genesis 27, when Isaac grows old, Rebekah, it's now her turn to be deceptive. And she helps Jacob to present himself as Esau so that Isaac would bless him instead of Esau. And her deceit showed disrespect for her husband. Go now, verse 10, and thou shalt bring it to thy father, and that he may eat, so that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will fail me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. Yeah, that's right. And that's what you are. And by your mother's help. Why? Because I love my son. And I would do anything for my son. What, really? Anything? And I see that today. And that's a theme that I see on movies and other plays. I'll just do anything. Wait a minute. We need to do what God wants us to do. And so he explains this as if she didn't know that. And his mother said in verse 13, "Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice and go fetch me them." And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved, and Rebekah took the goodly garments of Esau, her elder son, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son, and she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hand. Oh, I love my son. I'm just going to make sure this works. Are we so caught up? Are we so caught up in a child-oriented situation that we're just going to do whatever it takes to get what we want? Love your children. Take care of your children. Provide for them, but not at the expense of disobeying God and doing things that we shouldn't be doing. Isaac and Rebekah slumped into a child-centered marriage. And I see that so much today. And so she's instigating all of this, helping him get it all figured out. Verse 17, "And she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son. And it came to pass," "and he came unto his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, lie, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou hast bade me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his father, How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because Jehovah thy God sent me a good speed." No. "And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, and I will feel thee, my son, whether you be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near, and Isaac and his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am," line number two. "And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which Jehovah has blessed. And God give thee the dew of heaven, and of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and new wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be everyone that blesses thee." And of course, we know the rest of the chapter. Esau comes in and realizes that his brother, through his mother's help, has taken his blessing. Parents today often make the mistake of living a lie before their children and a life of deceit while raising their children. They live right when they're in front of their children, but they live wrong when they are out of their sight. However, in time, the children often learn the parents' double life, and it hurts them. It can cause them to distrust their parents, and it may even cause them to live the same way later in life. We raise our kids on lies and deceits. No big surprise that they do that later in life themselves. Or we raise them on anger and yelling. No surprise that they do that themselves. We raise them with what we want. She said, "Do what I command you." What about doing what God commands us? And as a parent, we only want to encourage our children to do what the Lord wants. Jacob and Esau actually took on some of the same sinful and selfish traits of their parents. Today, all of us as parents would do well to heed the Apostle Peter's words in 1 Peter 2, verse 1, "Put away therefore all wickedness, all guile," that's deceit, "all hypocrisy and envies and all evil speaking." Let's present to our children a godly marriage and a godly family, not a life of lies and deceit. And then last of all, this evening, they made the mistake of a child-centered marriage. And even those of us here this evening that are entering into the world of grandparenting, the same would be similar. I love my two grandchildren. But God needs to be first. God needs to be first in my marriage and in my parenting and in my grandparenting. I like what Edna said to me today at lunch. She said, "Can I borrow Carlin?" I said, "Sure." She said, "I'm going to spoil him," or something like that. I said, "Wait a minute, come on." She said, "No, that's my job. Your job is to raise him right. My job is to spoil him." I like that. She's just joking, of course. We want the best for our children and for our grandchildren, but they are not the center of our lives. And we're not the center. God is the center. And Isaac and Rebekah loved their kids so much they played the favoritism first, that we're going to get what we want. And this is on my mind, and this is what I want. And it doesn't matter if it involves lies. It doesn't matter if it involves deceit, you see. We begin to justify things later in life that aren't right because we're child-centered and child-oriented rather than God-centered. I see that so much in our society today. I believe Isaac and Rebekah, at least on different occasions, made their children the center of their marriage. Their marriage took a back seat to the twins. They both favored one child over the other. Rebekah helped Jacob deceive his father. She didn't like his wives. She didn't like the wives of Esau, if you come to the end of chapter 27 and on into chapter 28. Isaac and Rebekah were so focused on their boys that at times they hurt each other. How could a wife lie to her husband? "I'm so focused on my son, Jacob." So brethren, love your children, love your grandchildren, provide for them, but not at the expense of disobeying God. We want what's best for our children, but what's best is ultimately what God wants. In Genesis chapter 26 and verse 8, if we'll go back to that story when Isaac was in Gerar. In Genesis chapter 26 and verse 8, "And it came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife," the American Standard says. This is a Hebrew verb, tasak, which means to, it's the idea of being close with. It literally means to laugh. It's been translated in the ESV as laughing together. King James, sporting. Other versions, playing. New King James, showing endearment. New American Standard, caressing. This is probably something that they were doing to show that they were in love with each other, and that's a great thing. But there were times in their life when they weren't doing that. It wasn't about them. Maybe they had forgotten about that. So let's love our children, let's love our grandchildren, but let's always keep God first in our lives and in their lives. I believe there are a lot of parents today that are making the same mistake. They focus so much on their children that they neglect their own marriage relationship. It's all about the kids. And some couples are seeking emotional gratification in their children, but not in themselves. And they slowly fall apart, and they don't realize what's going on. And then about midlife, well, here comes the divorce, and here comes this problem and that problem. We must meet our children's needs. We must provide for them, but not at the expense of losing our marriage and not at the expense of losing our soul with God. Couples can grow apart if they're not careful because they are so busy with work, raising kids, and life in general. Focusing too much on our children can also cause parents to overlook a child's weakness or maybe even sin. My favorite child can never do wrong. We've got to be careful about that. Sometimes a child-focused marriage can cause a parent to coddle their child's misbehavior instead of correcting him or her. So let's turn to Psalm 127 now as we come down toward the close of our lesson. And I spoke about this morning on the radio program and just want to briefly mention a few things before we close. We must have a God-centered marriage and a God-centered family, a God-centered parenting approach. Two good people can get married. I believe Isaac and Rebecca were such a couple. And their marriage can get off to a great start. I believe that was the case. But these same good people can make parenting mistakes later if they're not careful, where they become child-oriented rather than God-oriented. I believe that's one big takeaway that we can get from Isaac and Rebecca. Let's let the Lord build the house. Let's let the Lord keep the city. And when he gives us children, verse 3, 4, and 5, let's give them back to the Lord. Look at Psalm 128 this morning on the radio program. I made the point that Psalm 127 and Psalm 128 go well together. Psalm 127, we need to let the Lord build our family. In Psalm 128, what will be the blessings that come if we do that? So those two psalms go well together. Psalm 128 verse 1, blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, that walks in His ways. That's the success. That's going to be the success in our marriage, in our family, when we're walking in His ways, which means we follow His Word. Not getting married and having children and then just doing our own thing. What we think and what we feel. Go do what I command you, Rebecca said. But we've got to walk in His ways. There are a number of common mistakes that parents can make. And as I said at the beginning of the lesson, I'll be the first to raise my hand. I made my share. Hopefully I learned from them. Some parents are too hard on their children. They're overbearing. While others are too soft. They're permissive. Some parents do not spend enough time with their children, while others spend too much time with them and neglect things of the Lord. Some parents give their children too much of what they don't need, while others don't give them enough of the necessary things that they do need. Some parents ignore their children, while others treat them as the center of the universe. Some parents give their children all the worldly and material things of life, but they don't give them the spiritual and the eternal things. Bible reading, prayer, worship assemblies, becoming a Christian, good work habits. Some parents make sure their children get into Harvard, but they don't make sure they get into heaven. And I can't take credit for that. Sherry and I heard Mike Richardson preach a few months back over in Dixon at a gospel meeting, and he mentioned that, so I'm going to give him credit for that. Parents make sure their children get into Harvard, but not into heaven. Hey, I'm all for education. Amen. But getting into heaven is obviously much more important. If parents and grandparents will follow God's plan for marriage and for raising children, it will help us to avoid these mistakes. let's let God build our house. And let us walk in His ways. I mentioned on the radio program these different things that will be blessed. Verse 2, your employment will be blessed. Verse 3, your marriage will be blessed. Verse 3, your parenting and your children will be blessed. Verse 4 and 5, your religion will be blessed. And number 5, verse 6, your length of days will be blessed, and you'll see your children's children. Phil, are you enjoying your grandson this weekend? I know you are. You and Lynn are. Yeah. That's a good thing. But you're trying. I know they are. We're trying. All of you here this evening are trying. That's why you're here. We're trying to follow and do that on biblical principles. Let me encourage you to keep doing that. So many in our culture are not. So let me close with this admonition to the newlyweds here who might be here this evening, those who have not been married many years. Let me encourage you, as you have just begun your family or about to begin your family, understand that God is at the center at all times. Work hard to raise your children according to God's word from the beginning. And don't be ashamed to get help and advice from older, wiser brethren. When Sherry and I first got married, boy, I did not like Dad telling me. Oh, here comes another Dad advice moment. Oh, but he was right every time. And my in-laws would give me advice from time to time. They're right every time, just about. I was like, yeah, that's right. Don't be afraid to get advice. Midlifers, those of us who have been married several decades, maybe we've made some mistakes. Don't be proud. Just be willing to admit our mistakes and learn from them and correct them. And we may even have time to change before the younger children come along. And we can make some changes even when it comes time for our grandchildren to come along. And for those who are older here, our elderly brethren, whom I appreciate greatly, you've already raised your children. You know the value of raising them properly. You can be mentors to the rest of us. You can be mentors to the younger couples about mistakes that you've made. Talk with them about these common mistakes and what you can do to avoid them. And we appreciate what our older brethren can help us with. Paul said the things written aforetime were written for our learning. We have the story of Isaac and Rebekah, beautiful couple. But you can see how easy it is to get caught up in, well, what do I want for my kids? And it's easy to lose sight of what the Lord wants. That's our takeaway. Let's go out with a God-centered marriage and with a God-centered family and home life. We cannot do it without Him. I love that song that Don led off with this evening. Years ago, I had the R.J. Stevens Favorite Hymns Quartet cassette tapes. And that song, Without Him, was on one of those cassette tapes. I wore that thing out. I love that song. Play, reverse. I just wore that cassette tape out. Without Him. Without Him. Without Him, we're nothing. Without Him, we cannot be what we need to be. Without Him, we cannot be the husband and wife and the mother and father that we need to be. With Him, there will be great success. If we can help you this evening to put on Christ in baptism, let us help you to do that. As a child of God, if you need to come back in some way, let us help you to do that. We can pray together for you. Let's go out this week with a God-centered life, and it will be so blessed. And if we really want what's best for our children, and we really love them, and we really care for them, we'll give them that God-centered life as well. If we can help you, why won't you come as we stand and sing?